Hey listeners, Chloe here. If you need to stay as up to date with the latest developments and innovations in the luxury industry as I do, you need to dive into Vogue Business. It's your ticket to a global perspective on fashion and beauty, delivering exclusive insights that will give you the edge in this competitive, dynamic industry. Just visit VogueBusiness.com today and use the code RUN20 at checkout to join the Vogue Business community. That's VogueBusiness.com, promo code RUN20. Don't miss out.
This is The Run Through, and I'm Cho Minardi. And before we jump into today's show, we have something really, really exciting to kick off this week. We have started a TikTok series that you must check out.
It is called Run Through the Closet with Vogue. And we go inside the closets of our favorite guests on the show. And Choma, I loved seeing our first one that you did the little visit of.
Yeah, with Naomi Elize, who's a Vogue editor here. And truly one of the best dressed people in the office. She has amazing pieces, lots of Christopher John Rogers and a ton of Margiela Tabbies and just the best stuff. So
fun.
Yeah.
I loved seeing that. It seems inside someone's closet. It's like into the gloss top shelf, as we'll talk about later this
week. Yeah, it's like a peek into their soul.
Okay, that's a bit much, but sure.
It's a sleepy week, Chloe, isn't it?
It is a sleepy week. I'm actually upstate in Northwest Connecticut, where Arthur is doing a very cute forest camp. So I am not in the city, and I forgot my beloved microphone. So my deep apologies to everyone if this is less than A+ audio quality.
All is forgiven.
But there was some baby news. Rihanna's maternity line.
After months of being pregnant and having given birth months ago, Ashley Olsen is a mom for the first time, which took me by surprise.
But I just love this because truly no one else could conceal a pregnancy so deftly than someone who has been wearing Harry Potter cloaks for the last 15 years.
I know. Perfect. Talk about maternity wear. I mean, if you want a secret pregnancy, yeah.
Yeah, it's like she got to NYU 20 years ago and was like, how am I going to successfully conceal my pregnancy in 20 years? I know, I'll start wearing cloaks. So, mazel tov.
Nobody will be any wiser. And seriously, did not have a clue. And I obviously feel like we routinely cover the Olsons, from a celebrity star perspective. And I had no clue. And she's had the baby a few months ago, and it was just like the world has just caught on. And yes, Rihanna dropped a maternity.
So smart. I mean,
capsule. Yeah. Which is so smart. Yeah.
We need more fashion forward maternity wear. I mean, the idea of a Savage by Fenty nursing bra is slightly horrifying, delightful.
It's amazing. No,
it's amazing.
Make more babies, the slogan tee. I mean, she's famous for wearing the wear condoms. And now she's making more babies, which is great.
It's not very eco-friendly, but sure.
Well, I will say that one of the biggest trends, guys, at Copenhagen Fashion Week, which I think happened this week or last week,
last week,
that women were bearing their belly. Yeah, it was last week.
A pregnant
there
belly
was so
or
many
just
pregnant,
a normal belly?
A pregnant belly. Like, there were just so, it felt like the Rihanna effect. Like, that was one of the street style takeaways. And Copenhagen has pretty good street style. It's pretty cute. Go check it out.
I know. I should look at that. I do feel like people are talking about Copenhagen Fashion Week more than usual, but maybe that's just me.
I mean, I think of the international ones outside of the sort of main four, it's one of the better ones.
I don't really understand why it exists, but
Scandinavian fashion scene.
Right, okay.
I mean,
but why not
Paloma
Stockholm?
Opened the Garni, and there is a Stockholm one, but there are more brands. I've been to Copenhagen Fashion Week. It is so fun. You get to ride around on bicycles. Yeah,
oh my God,
it's the best one.
I would love to go to Copenhagen.
Yeah, you should go. I'm sure they'd have you.
Shout out to Copenhagen.
Copenhagen. Copenhagen. I love that you say Copenhagen.
Copenhagen. Is it Copenhagen?
It's Copenhagen.
Okay, right. All right, it's Hans Christian Andersen, okay? We had a little group outing, which was actually one of the more fun run-through things we've done as a as a team, which was going to see the amazing photo exhibit at MoMA featuring all contemporary Nigerian photographers. And Choma, I feel like it was such a treat to go through this exhibit with you because you've spent so much time in Lagos. Now you've stressed me out about my A's.
Lagos.
And you had such sort of visceral reactions to some of these shots. What did you think about it?
Walking through Lagos is such a visceral experience. Like, there's nothing that compares to it. Like, I remember as a 7-year-old, the smells and sounds of like what it was like to touch down in Lagos when I, you know, my first time going there. And revisiting as an adult, it doesn't get any less intense. It doesn't get any less exciting. And I think that this exhibit really captured that. And what was even better was that one of our friends, Yegazi Emezi, was in the her work was in the show.
Yeah, it was really fun to see her pieces in there.
And her pieces were from the anti-SARS protests. So they were pretty powerful images. It moved me in a way that I wasn't expecting it to.
Interesting.
And I'd really recommend people to go see it. And I think, you know, if you ever get the opportunity to go to Lagos, Chloe, I know you've been to Ethiopia, but I don't know how much time you spent in West Africa. It's an amazing city. It's quite
well. I actually
vibrant.
Met Yegezi in Monrovia in Liberia.
Wow.
But I've the only place in West Africa I've been is Monrovia and Accra. But I would love to go to Lagos.
Oh, Accra is amazing.
Choma, you saw there's also the incredible Africa fashion exhibit at the Brooklyn Museum right now.
Yes.
And you saw that exhibit in London when it was on there.
I did. And I think the special thing about the exhibit here is actually the store, because it's curated by a store in Lagos, which I think is hands down the best concept store in Africa.
Is that Alara?
Alara, yes, there I said it. So they've curated a store there, and I think that's the big draw.
I didn't realize that. I would go just for that.
Yeah. As like concept stores go, it's one of the best I've been to in the world, you know?
Oh, cool. All right. Well, that's a reason for me to go. And across the street, almost, is the amazing sort of takeover of the Brooklyn Library.
Oh, I need to go for that, for Book of Hove. That's one thing I haven't been to yet. I'm dying to go.
I actually was walking past there with Alice when they were putting the sort of pasting up all of the signs in front of it. And it was such a sort of big moment of everyone was sort of gathering around and whispering. I feel like people didn't really know what was going on. Do you want to tell people what it is, Choma?
Yeah, it's an exhibit of artifacts that kind of tell the story of Jay-Z's life.
He was involved in it, or they surprised him with it? There was some sort of reveal.
That I'm not sure of. I know that June Ambrose, who is on the podcast this week, she went and she's Jay-Z's stylist and was really impressed by the show and all of the artifacts in it. I think he was involved. I don't think that I mean, I don't know how much of an archivist he is. Obviously, I think his wife, Beyoncé, is. But yeah, there are a ton of really cool things in it. And I'm dying to see it and go see it. I just haven't been. And it's been mobbed. I think it's been really hard to go because I think it's busy every night. And they're open till, I think, 7-8 o'clock.
No, that's awesome. And speaking of, yeah, I think it was honoring the 50th anniversary of hip hop, which just happened and which was sort of the news peg for you speaking to the amazing June Ambrose, which I had so much fun listening to that interview. I feel like I learned so much about her, so much about hip hop and the Juniverse, as we now know her world is called. So that was,
she's
I'm very
excited
for everyone to hear that.
Yeah, I think I fangirled out a bit too hard, but it was fun.
No, we love a fangirl, Choma. Usher and June Ambrose really, really got that.
Well, I guess it's also been a big week for collaborations. Peter Doe, who's famously kind of shy and elusive, has done a collaboration with Banana Republic that people are really excited about. And then,
oh yeah, people are saying Banana is back.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at old Banana, which I think he drew a lot from for this collab, it's pretty good.
That sounds like, so
it's
much all chicker about when you say it.
Old
Banana.
And it's the return of Claire Wright Keller, who famously designed Meghan Markle's wedding dress and was a longtime Chloe designer. She's just dropped a collection for Uniqlo. She's announced a collection for Uniqlo. So
I do love those. I mean, I have a lot of stuff from the JW Uniqlo. I think they're very good.
Same. I have a bunch of stuff from the Uniqlo collabs. I think they're pretty great. I think I have some Jill Saunders stuff still.
I thought it was interesting in the Peter Doe reading about his Banana Republic collab that he first encountered Banana Republic when he moved from Vietnam to the suburbs of Philadelphia in 2004. So I feel like he's really had the arc of, as you say, the old banana.
The old banana.
I'm imagining like a brown spotted banana.
The old banana. Oh my God, we have to shout out one thing.
Yes.
One more thing that we need to shout out because I'm quite into it because we made it, so I'm quite proud of it. But in celebration of the supermodel cover.
Oh my God, the quiz.
Which supermodel are you? Have you done it?
I'm a Christy, obvi.
Oh, guess who I am?
Cindy.
No.
A Linda.
Yes. I'm a Linda. I think being a Taurus tipped the scales though on it because I was like,
I didn't know what to say, of which I don't know enough about astrological signs. So I just randomly said Gemini. I don't really know why.
Gemini's a good one. They're communicators and multifaceted and multi-talented. We love a Gemini.
But I have to say the Vogue.com culture Slack was just going nuts about this. I mean, Taylor Antrim as a Cindy just made me cry laughing. So yes, this was a delight. I encourage everyone to head to Vogue.com and take Christian's quiz because you really don't know who you are until you know who you are.
Agreed.
The Run Through with Vogue will be back in just a moment.
Hi, we're Carlene and Jill, hosts of Breaking Beauty Podcast, the show all about the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty.
On our show, you're going to find hella inspiring guests like Emily Weiss of Glossier,
and you'll get beauty tips galore from the top pros in the industry, like Kim Kardashian's makeup guru, and you'll hear skincare secrets from the likes of Dr. Pimple Popper.
Plus, you'll get shopping help with our Damn Goods episodes, where we review the latest products hitting store shelves to let you know what's actually worth your money.
Listen every Wednesday to Breaking Beauty Podcast.
Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? Maybe a chef-grade range made you want to hone your cooking skills, or a high-tech tennis racket made you want to work on your backhand. I recently bought a new pair of running shoes, and that made me love hitting the pavement again. Well, when we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. We're back with the Run Through with Vogue.
Choma had a very special guest in the studio. Choma?
Yes, I spoke to June Ambrose, who's a creative director and stylist and costume designer. And we asked June to come in because of the 50th anniversary of hip hop. And actually, June was one of the first people to sort of let me know that that anniversary was coming up a couple of years ago. So I've been dying to get her into the studio. And she has basically, I mean, some of the best videos, some of the biggest artists, think Jay-Z and Missy Elliott, have been people she's worked with. She did that infamous Super Duper Fly video, you know, where it was inflatable and the red shiny suit.
I learned so much.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, she did that? Oh, she did that? It was fun to sort of have you walk through that with her.
I've been a huge fan of her work since I was a kid, to be honest. So I was really dying to talk to her. And June's still doing a bunch of, I mean, she's kind of got the energy. She's like an energizer bunny. I don't know how she does it. Like, she's a creative director for Puma's women's basketball line. I don't know how she finds time for everything. She still styles Jay-Z. She has a hat line coming out. The Juneverse is rich, as we discovered.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
From this interview. I'm so excited, June, that you are able to join the show. Can you introduce yourself and tell everybody, all of our listeners, what you do?
Oh, wow. Yes. My name is June Ambrose. And next year will be 30 years that I've had a career as a costume designer and a creative director and a stylist. Wow, saying that out loud gives me goosebumps.
Especially since you look like 25.
Oh, you're so kind. You're my new favorite person. I feel 25, to be honest. I feel really good.
Every time I see you, just have the energy and verve is always high. You know, I think you always seem to be excited about life and about what you're doing and curious about the world.
That's how it is in the Juniverse.
Yes, we love the Juniverse. Well, before we go any further, we do have a tradition of going through the credits of the outfit.
Let's go.
I know, listeners, you can't see how fab June looks, but she looks incredible. She is wearing a very cool outfit. I'm going to let her talk through everything.
Okay, so I have these Gucci. I believe in, like, when you buy things, you know, it's not about the season. And when I like to collect, especially shoes. I'm a shoe collector. And the shoes that I'm wearing are my studded Gucci pumps.
Cute.
But what's great about them, they have like pearls and studs. They're the rockers. I think they were like from 4 years ago, but I threw them on today because they're comfortable and they're sexy and they're demure and they're edgy. All those things wrapped up into one is the base of this look. And then I'm doing a floral Gucci pleated skirt. And it's black and cream. And then I have a cream off-white contrast white jacket from Helmut Lang.
It's perfectly tailored, guys. It's like that jacket, that suit jacket you just want to always have. It's just super cash, but...
Thank you.
Makes like you look pulled together.
I have a lot of blazers in my closet.
It's important. It's like the strength moment, right?
I'm tiny, so they make me feel as aggressive as my big hats. And I'm wearing my cowboy hat. That I had custom blocked. I'm doing a series of this season because it's a year of the rabbit. So I'm in really obnoxious cowboy hats or bunny hats, baseball caps with bunny ears, fedoras with bunny ears.
Wow.
And it's supposed to bring good fortune. And I got to tell you, I've been very fortunate this season. So
I love that.
I'm not complaining. And I'm wearing a tank top that I got from like a little shop that in the garment district that was like $6.
Oh, I love mix and match.
Yeah.
I love. So I was like, we're always here for that.
Yep.
Where do you get your hats made? Because you're quite a hat lover.
Yeah, I love supporting young milliners. This particular milliner is from Australia. And then Rodney from Essentials has made a number of hats for me. I love Stephen Jones hats. Yeah. I have runway hats that I've gotten from, you know, Marc Jacobs. So I'm really excited because this season I'm also launching my own hat collection.
Oh,
so this fall. You're the first that actually. Oh, wow.
We're breaking news, guys.
Wow. Was I supposed to
say
that? Yeah,
well,
it's happening.
Cat's out the bag.
Well, no better place than with Vogue, right?
Yeah.
So the Mad Hatter is giving the people what
exciting.
They want. So I'm really excited.
Congratulations.
About that.
I think that feels perfect for you.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah. You know what's funny? I was thinking about this the other day, and I think you were the first person that kind of flagged to me, and this was maybe like a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, that 50 years of hip-hop this year. Like, how nuts was that? And I think since then, I've learned a bit more about when it was. I guess it was August 11th, officially, 1973. Yeah. DJ Kool Herc set up some turntables and a mixer, a block party in the Bronx.
Yep. I'm from
like,
the BX.
You're from. I mean, do you know anything about that origin story? Is that something that you knew? Like, why is it an important moment?
I learned later in life about Kool Herc and all those guys. I came from Antigua in the West Indies. Immigrant, you know, came to America when I was 3 years old.
Wow.
And single parent home. I was raised by my mom. It was my mom, my sister, and I. And we landed in the Bronx. That was the first place that we came when we came to America. And it was something about the neighborhood. It was very urban, but it had a lot of like stories being told, whether it was like the graffiti or the sneakers hanging from the phone lines, the fire escapes and the energy and just... You know, there was something, there was the texture of that. And then also, like, the B-box ciphers. And, like, you know, when you'd get into, a scrap or a beef in the neighborhood, you would battle it out verbally.
Wow.
So the soundtrack to my life growing up were these poets, you know, mm-hmm. telling their stories and young people trying to outdo each other verbally. And it was like a symphony, and also breakdancing. And that was like the activities, block parties on the mm-hmm. weekends and going to the basketball courts and the DJ set up. And it was just concerts just happening, you know, after mm-hmm. school and wow. on the weekends. And I appreciate it so much when I look back at like what my life was growing up and how I kind of navigated myself into an industry where I get to put looks to the lyrics.
Well, how did you get your start? I mean, you were mm-hmm. you're growing up in the Bronx. You're sort of in the sort of like at the heartland of yeah. where this music scene is exploding. When did it suddenly become, obviously fashion was something that was a passion of yours. How mm-hmm. did you, yeah, when did it all happen
well,
for you?
Well, costume design was really my first passion because right. I studied theater.
Right.
And whenever I didn't get the part in a theatrical piece, I took wardrobe as an elective. Mm-hmm. When I first met Sean Combs, Puffy Combs, Diddy, it was at Uptown MCA Records where I had taken an internship in the marketing department. And I remember meeting him and walking into his office, and he used to buy these big Colecciones magazines. We didn't have .coms then, too. And I remember sitting there and looking at the magazines with him, and just we were both like really so excited about the large format and also just all of the glamour mm. and the edge. But then we were like, how do we make this relatable?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And we left it at that. And when you see what came out of, you know, his world with Jodeci right. and Mary J. Blige and mixing streetwear with high fashion, you understand where the foundation of it all. It's mm-hmm. what we were thinking.
Yeah.
I wish it was as easy as calling up all of those fashion houses.
No, saying, I can only imagine.
You know, Jean-Paul Gaultier, I want look number 2, 10, and 5. And, you know, we just didn't have that luxury.
Right.
But what we did have the luxury of was creative license.
Right.
So I had met a manager at the label at the time, had an artist on another record label, but he was talking to the radio promotions guy about something, and I overheard a conversation that I took advantage of.
Okay.
I said, I would love, you know, you're looking for someone to work on your artist. I'd love the opportunity to do it. And mm-hmm. he said, well, what experience do you have? And I said, well, I come from the theater. I was like, I haven't done any musicians, but it was Friday. And he said, well, you know, let's meet on Monday. Show me, you know, what you're thinking. And over the weekend, I worked on a mood board. And
wow.
I put together a creative deck. And what I said, let me hear the music. He allowed me to hear the music. I came back. And he had a single deal on Sony. And he was a rapper. His name was DJ Quayshawn.
Okay.
I mean, he had a single. It didn't take off. But interesting enough, years later, recently, like a couple years ago, he hit me on DM and social media and was just like, I just want to thank you. He says, you're doing so well with your career. He says, obviously, I went on to I left the business and I have a family. And, you yeah. know, it was like he checked in and it was just so nice to hear from him.
Yeah.
The first time I worked with him wasn't like my best work. And I knew I had a lot to learn, but it was like an experiment. Mm. And interesting enough, I didn't dress him like what the music sounded like.
Right, right.
I bought him like a trench coat, a khaki trench coat. I remember it so vividly. I dressed him like Sherlock Holmes, you know. I then went on to work with the fashion brand Cross Colors and Carl Kanai, the marketing director, where I gave a lot of models their first, you know, runway opportunities. I worked with Tyson Beckford for his first time and I put him on the wow. runway. Tupac Shakur, I did all the ad campaigns for Carl Kanai and Cross Colors.
I
was doing all the trade shows, all the fashion shows. I was doing all the strategic product placement. And I was coming in contact with artists while in this mm-hmm. position. And I was the youngest marketing director at the time in the industry. And I was
one of the few women,
articles.
I'm sure.
Oh, it was definitely a very male-driven place.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got, you know, I got hooked up with Hype Williams and
the rest is history. Oh my God. I mean, I'm dying to talk about that era.
Yeah.
Because that was
that's when it gets started. That's when it really gets started.
Oh my God. You know, when I think about the sort of visual language of hip hop, I think about the work that you and Hype did together. It's like just out of this world.
No, thank you. Yeah. You know, it was interesting when I first met Hype. He was painting sets and he was working with Ralph McDaniels and he was an art director and he was doing all that artistic stuff. And I was a dancer.
Wow.
I never tell this story. So you probably, this probably is the first time I'm talking about it. Of course, I'm giving it to Vogue.
Dish.
For my memoirs. But I got stories. So Hype, you know, when I first met him, he didn't realize that I had, you know, I was focused on that. I had this career where I was working in fashion and you know, working as a costume designer and all that stuff, because he only knew me in one capacity. And he gave me an opportunity to do a job, and we just hit it off. Mm-hmm. And that first job was not Missy Elliott. It was Jay-Z.
Well,
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Stop it.
But Hype, we were directing. It was American Gangster.
Wow.
And I remember making him his first, like, linen suit. We shot in Jamaica, and it was yellow, and it was a Feeling It music video. And then we went on to do this black and white beautiful video with Mary J. Blige was in it. Can't Knock the Hustle.
Yeah.
And then it was history, and I've literally been with, I think, from the inception. So that's what. Oh,
wow. He's trusted you over so many years.
When we were on the run, we looked at each other and was like, oh my God, we've worked together so long. Can you believe we're here still?
I think that, you know, that video with Missy is one of the most iconic in hip hop history.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Tell us how it all came together and what it was like.
What they called like a trash bag for so many years.
I know.
It's not. It's an inflatable fashion Michelin. There were so many moments in that video, and I really want to unpack them because it was bigger than just that blow up suit, right? When you think about what we did there, right? The provocativeness of the dancers in men's briefs.
Yes, that's true.
And men's Timberland boots.
Yes.
But tank tops, ripped tank tops, undershirts, and trench coats that a construction worker would wear while he's working on outside. That, to me, was such a powerful moment in a space where women were marginalized. Mm. And, you know, we had to make a statement. And here, you know, Missy Elliott was, you know, she wasn't like this overtly provocative, you know, artist. Her content, her lyrics were very provocative.
Amazing.
Very salacious.
Yes.
And we decided to create something that was completely the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. And we also addressed the shape of a woman. Mm-hmm. And we liberated and celebrated being, you know, curvy, mm-hmm. being a full-size woman, being a plus-size woman, being a tomboy, but also being sexy.
Yeah.
And we reimagined what sexy is. When I got the suit to set, because it was built out of, it couldn't be sewn, it had to be made out of inner tube, was out of a tire.
Wow.
It was the first time I was even working with anything like that.
To get it made?
The contractor that I was working with was this great guy that I've, you know, Trinidadian guy I found like in Brooklyn, and we ended up building an atelier in the city. And it ended up having a very slow leak because it was adhered with like rubber glue, rubber cement.
God.
And when we got it to set, we didn't think about how I was going to inflate it. So I was like, oh my God, I had a bicycle pump ready to go, but that was going to take way too long.
God.
So I ended up walking her to the gas station and blowing her up and then
her
back.
So she had to walk from the gas station.
This footage of this is hysterical. MTV did behind the scenes.
Oh, amazing.
And it was really funny. And then as it was deflating slowly while we were shooting, which worked to our benefit because it didn't need to be stiff. It needed to be kind of so that it can pop some more.
Exactly.
I was pumping air behind her every take with the bicycle pump. So I was literally in every shot behind her while we were shooting it. There were so many fashion moments. There was another big moment where I took a athletic silhouette and designed it in luxury fabric. So she was on the hill in this beautiful, mint green tracksuit out of leather, a buttersoft lamb's leather with old school California Pumas on.
I mean, most of these looks that you were making were custom, you know, you were working as a costume designer.
Yeah, yeah.
When did you start working with fashion?
I just think as, like, time went on and, you know, you started looking at, like, the video of Vixen Girls.
Right.
And you just can't keep putting them in a Poom Poom short. You know, it's not, like, it's not provocative enough. And, like, to be able to bring high fashion to urban music and make these video vixens look really elevated and really glamorous and beautiful, really added to it. The leading ladies were, you know, models. You know, when I did Busta Rhymes' music video, Put Trans Where Your Eyes Can See, Alec Weck was in a dress that was made out of weave hair.
Wow.
But there were plenty of design couture pieces, high fashion pieces in that video. But then there was also a ton of costume design moments. I was covering Timberland boots with Lamé. I was making long robes for Buster out of gorgeous silk fabrics and wrapping his head in turbans. And then, the models were wearing high fashion designer pieces. So, again, merging the two. And then there were big dance sequences that I was making, big head pieces and gluing doily and pieces on panty thongs and stockings. It was a house.
So back to the shiny suits. Will you tell us a little bit about the story behind it?
He wasn't sold on, you know, this is hip hop. He's like, shiny suits, hip hop. He was like, you think I'm Rick James? Like, he was like, you know, it was just, had to make a leather version of, you know, the suit. I made a mechanic one and I made a two-piece jean suit and jean pants. One was metallic leather, red, shiny metallic leather. That was so delicious. And that was my banger. I was like, I'm going to change the face of hip hop. So after he saw the first take, we did a take with the red leather. Mm. It was flat. It was like, whatever. It looked great. You know, the guys are handsome. Both him and Mace are beautiful looking men. But when we put on that metallic and Hype put those lights on it and DP went to work, our director of photography, it was magic.
I bet they were happy.
He looked at playback and was like,
you nailed it.
He gave me pointed his finger at me and we were like screaming, yeah, we were like, you know, and I'm like with all the fellas because there's so many guys, so it's just me.
Yeah,
we were jumping out, we were giggling, we were like, yes.
I mean, I'm interested to know what it was like. I mean, working as a woman in these spaces, because obviously you had to earn the respect of these guys, and sounds like they often needed some convincing. You know, what was your experience, you think, you know, coming from the Bronx and sort of like having a sense of the culture, right? Yeah. Really helped you navigate the industry.
Oh, I always wanted to change the narrative, right? I always wanted to, you know, put black faces in white spaces. Mm. And, you know, that was the goal, that we would get MTV and VH1 to play the music.
Yes.
That we would sit on the cover of magazines, high fashion magazines, that I could pick up the phone and call a fashion house and say, this is what I'm, you know, doing. And, you know, when they would finally meet me, they'd be very shocked of what I looked like and who I was. I had to forecast and create, you know, situations and opportunities that we could be in a position that we didn't have to ask for permission and that we could lead. And I think because of that leadership is why you're seeing what's happening now in the current climate with the collaborations that are happening in the big fashion houses. You know, I worked with Missy Elliott as a creative director for her first collaboration with Adidas.
That was major.
And that opportunity, became available because I was remixing all the Adidas stuff anyway. I was taking it apart and remixing. I was making stuff that they didn't even make. And, you know, and they recognized the power and influence of the work that we were doing. And they didn't want to just bastardize it. And, you know, they actually partnered with us in that way. But now we want more. As you see, we're growing into a space where we want more. You're seeing these fashion brands being born. You're seeing more artists having their own lines. You're seeing, you know, I costume designed the movie Belly.
And yes. I think that another thing that we cannot skip because that movie.
I know, it's like
such a good movie.
Was that
your first feature?
That was my first feature. And Hype and I had done so many music videos together. And it was like, oh, my God. It's like, think about it. You do a music video. You're done in, you know, 5 to 10 days, you know, the most. And you move on.
Right.
And then, you know, you do a film and you're on the film for like 4 months, 5, 6 months. And you're like, oh, my God. So that part was an adjustment because I was so used to hitting and splitting. Mm-hmm. And it was DMX's first film. And I remember when Hype walked him in to when we were in pre-production and he walked us in and he said, this is the star of the movie. And he had a padlock around his neck and he was growling at me. And I was like, am I being punked? I was like,
he was one of one.
Listen, the film became, you know, a cult film.
Oh, you know, 100%.
I'll never forget when.
I mean, the use of color, the way everything about that movie, I remember watching it just thinking like,
there
wow.
There was a couple of beautiful moments that came out of that film in this decade. One was that my kids actually identified with the film. My son played one of the characters in it for Halloween.
Oh, my gosh.
That, like, my now 22-year-old and my 19-year-old, that this is something that's still relevant.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
To this generation is really just makes me feel so, like, seen. Mm. The late Virgil Abloh, you know, sent me a message and said to me that Belly was the inspiration for his next collection.
Yeah, I could see that. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
This was wonderful. I'm a huge fan of you. And like some of those moments are just, you know, I remember watching those videos and movies and being totally inspired and transported. And I, you know, music is how I learn about fashion, you know. And I think that was such a moment when I wasn't looking at the runway. I was looking to musicians. You know, wow. I was looking at Missy, Lauryn Hill. Those were people that, those were my heroes. You know?
Those were our editorial pages, you know. I felt like I was editor at large of every music video I worked on.
Yeah.
That's how I approached it.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm really nervous, but we have some news. We have some news. I mean, you've done this so many times, but we're co-hosting Forces of Fashion.
It's going to be fabulous, Gemma.
Oh,
Two for the price of one.
Well, actually, this time it's happening in the Vogue offices, which I think is pretty exciting, right?
For the first time ever. It's usually at Spring Studios or another, you know, sterile location, and this is in the Vogue offices.
Yes, it is.
It is going to be unprecedented access.
Yes. Interactive panels, networking discussions.
Editorial staff all over the place.
Yes.
Access to the Vogue closet.
A-list speakers.
Exclusive workshops.
Yep.
and you'll have a rare behind-the-scenes peek to how Vogue is made. Tickets are very limited, folks.
Yes, but we're there, so it's worth, you know, on top of the A-listers, we're the draw here.
From A-list to Z-list,
yes,
with Troma and Chloe.
Z-list, we're the C-list.
Yeah, exactly.
Plus, you know, there are some VIP tickets and that elevates your experience. So Chloe, tell us, where can we get tickets?
Well, Troma, please go to VogueForcesOfFashion.com/NYC to buy tickets ASAP.
All right, I'm on it.
That's it for this episode of The Run Through.
The Run Through of Vogue is a production of Condé Nast Entertainment.
The show is produced by Susie Lechtenberg, Chelsea Daniel, and Alex John Burns. It's engineered by Jake Loomis, Gabe Quiroga, and Kevin Bourassa, and mixed by Mike Kutchman.
See you soon.
Bye. Hi everyone, it's Chloe, and I'm so excited to share something fabulous with you, Vogue's first ever global fashion community, Vogue Club. Our members get to mingle with Vogue editors, yes, including me, and fellow fashion enthusiasts at exclusive events around the world, and that's just the start. Membership opens doors to the fashion industry, bringing you expert career advice and insider style and beauty tips. What are you waiting for? Head over to vogue.com/membership to join, and here's a little treat. Use code TRT20 and snag 20% off your membership. That's TRT20 for 20% off your ticket to Vogue Club. Are you in?